It's said that the next major wars will be fought over water, not oil, because there are growing concerns over the increasing demand for fresh, clean water as the supply is decreasing. My friends, we begin our lives in the watery womb of our mothers. Our human bodies are about 60% water. We are told if we don't drink enough water, we'll walk around dehydrated. We're also told that when we begin to feel thirsty, we are already in the first stages of dehydration. So water is essential for health and for life. In the dry, arid land of Palestine, wells were places where the community gathered and where important meetings took place. And in those dry lands, people are drawn to those rare springs of water because water is so essential to life. And water is certainly an important symbol in the Bible, as we see in today's scriptures. The Samaritan woman we just heard about in the gospel had gone to the well that day to draw water. Her thoughts were probably on accomplishing her chore. She comes to the well at noon, not in the cool of the morning when most people would come, perhaps because she, a sinner, wants to avoid the judgmental eyes and wagging tongues of the women of the town. Jesus sees her and strikes up a conversation. "Give me a drink." Now, as a man and as a Jew, Jesus would have known that conversation with this woman crossed the boundaries of propriety. But then, Jesus always crossed boundaries. Normally, a Jew would have never asked the Samaritan for a drink. And as a Samaritan, the woman is considered an outcast by the Jews. And as a known adulteress, she is scorned by her village. And as the conversation continues, Jesus speaks to her of a living water, a water that will never stop flowing, that can be hers for the asking. But the woman has a hard time seeing beyond her hunger and her thirst and her day-to-day survival. She says to Jesus, "Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Give me some of that. Then I won't ever have to come back to this well again." But then, very abruptly, Jesus adds a new dimension to the conversation, almost a surprising one. He says, "Go home and get your husband." She says, "I don't have one." And Jesus' response is very pointed. He says, "That's right, you don't. The man you are living with now is not your husband." This comment hits pretty close to home. So she pulls back from the conversation and quickly changes the subject. And the effect was perfect. "Sir," she began, "I can see you are a prophet." But what she really wanted to ask here was where she could find God. And step by step, Jesus and the woman reveal themselves more deeply to each other. In their conversation, they speak of their deepest thirsts for worship, for salvation, for the truth. And as Jesus confronts the woman with the reality of her brokenness and her sinfulness, she comes to realize the reality of her own sinfulness and her need for forgiveness. And at the same time, the depth of God's love for her. Brothers and sisters, a similar choice is placed before us today. Are we like the Samaritan woman, able to acknowledge our sinfulness and brokenness and recognize the grace being offered to us to make the right choice? My friends, everyone thirsts for meaning in life. But of what does that meaning consist? Or where is that meaning to be found? The children of Israel thirsted for water, but it's clear they misunderstood their thirst. The woman of Samaria thirsted. That's why she went to the well in the first place. Her conversation with Jesus showed that she thirsted for understanding and insight as well. And from a kind of hostile beginning, the Samaritan woman quickly becomes a listener, then a believer, and then a witness to what she believes. She is no longer ashamed of her life because she has now a more urgent story to tell about the man who lowered a bucket into the well of her soul and drew up that deep living water within her. And yet, my friends, we still thirst for more. The newest, the fastest, the best. How much is enough? And when do we cross the line into too much? If possessions aren't our concern, might we be thirsting for acclaim, for prestige, for status in the community? Or are our desires in the areas of comfort or pleasure or satisfaction? My friends, today it is Jesus who is the source of water that guarantees eternal life. Jesus is the one who refreshes the Samaritan woman's spirit and renews her world. For John, the gospel writer, the Samaritan woman is a model of a disciple's experience of faith. It's the living water of Jesus that makes possible our growth and faith into the person and mission of Jesus. And faith is our commitment, our response to a person, Jesus Christ. And it's a commitment that impacts our whole life. My friends, I think that all of us are called to be the woman at the well, because Jesus wants to meet all of us there, to tell us how much we're loved, how much we're forgiven, how much we are called to the eternal banquet that is the reign of God. During Lent, the Lord calls us back to our baptism as the basis of our spirituality. As water sustains life and cleans away the grime and filth that can diminish and destroy life, in the waters of baptism, the sins that keep us from God are washed away, and we are reborn in the spirit of compassion and community. In Jesus, the reign of God breaks through boundaries of race and religion and culture and gender. No matter what our race, religion, gender, or life history, the risen Christ wants to give each of us that gift of living water. Jesus knows from experience what it is to be thirsty. Just reflect on that moment when he hung on the gibbet of the cross. Brothers and sisters, Jesus will not leave us dehydrated and weary on our journey through Lent or through life. With the Samaritan woman as our guide, let us open ourselves in honesty and truth to the one who is indeed the living water. Let us drink well and live. Amen.